Yeah, thank you, Paul. We had quite a lively discussion, and we finished on time. That's also good. We did. Let me just run through the three questions. The first question we addressed was whether the whether there is a case for the ISB to be more proactive with regard to significant application issues and looking for them. I think there was a general feeling within the group that that application and consistent application is becoming, as Hans said, you know, a key issue for the organization, and therefore that it should give given a sufficient weight, and also the terms of reference of the implementation committee should probably be given, you know, a bit more status. At the moment, it's in the way that it's been drafted, relatively low key, and it may actually, you know, need a bit more strengthening. So generally, people feel that yes, there could be more done. There was a feeling that, in terms of the information gathering, generally in large jurisdictions, in the larger jurisdictions, there are already quite a number of either formal or informal processes established where constituents, you know, bring application issues. But that especially at the international level, we may still not have, you know, the same level of coordination and the same level of communication as we have at some of the national levels. And therefore, there was a feeling that there was something that could still be done in terms of stepping it up at the international level. It was also a concern to a certain extent expressed of at the moment, because it is informal, that certain of the discussions are taking place, and I look also at ourselves as auditors, that discussions are taking place behind closed doors, and that people actually feel that you know, more of that should be more transparent and more in the open. So all of this would suggest that that perhaps that there needs to be a bit more of outreach in a more structured way. And one way for the ISB to do that may be to have a more institutionalized platform where you would bring certain groups together as ISB to talk about potential implementation issues, not to replicate what IFRIG is doing, but really to be a kind of a stock take of what are the things that are occupying people in practice, what are the things that the different stakeholders are seeing, and how worrying are these. And then decide where they have to go, whether it's IFRIC or whether it's the ISB that itself needs to do something with the standards, or whether it is in the form of education materials. So I think that was felt by the group that was something that could be done. In terms of who else but regulators and auditors as your first point of contact, quite interesting. I think Judith made the point, backed up by others in the group, that analysts may also be a good source if you would be looking at what really bothers analysts and where analysts make adjustments, although they may not always be indicative of differences in interpretation. It may also be, you know, where they just see problems with the standards or disagree with the standards, but it may be another source that that you want to look at. And also preparers and national standard setters were mentioned as groups that that would have something to say on the topic. Point was also made in our group that perhaps you know, as you go and look at the various issues, it may be useful to think of them in different categories, in different buckets, because they may all have kind of different consequences. I think Judith was that suggested perhaps to look at it on recognition issues, measurement issues, classification issues, disclosure issues, and categorize them into these buckets. And we had some discussion, which is perhaps a bit further away from the implementations, but a bit more of cause and result. The point was made that some people feel that the lack of translations or the lack of simultaneous translations, especially of the earlier due process documents, may still also have an impact on the quality of implementation. The fact that that discussion papers and EDs are not typically done in other versions than English, and therefore that people, as they go through the due process, are not able to, you know, absorb everything in their own language, may also to a certain extent lead to poor implementation at a later date. So that was one that was flagged as an issue that still may need to be given some thought. And finally, we had some brief discussion on the technical inquiry service that was mentioned in the paper, and I think people felt that the reluctance of board members and staff to give any answers to questions that they get is rightly informed. I mean, it is very difficult to, although you want to be more helpful, to be more helpful, because very often if you get questions asked, you may not have the full fact pattern. There may be an element of opinion shopping. And therefore, there was a general feeling that being reluctant to actually give answers was right, and was not a feeling that there needed to be anything more than there is at present. I think that more or less sums up what we discussed, but if any of the members of my group wants to add anything or change anything, please go ahead.
Thanks, Mark. Anyone want to supplement Mark's summary? I guess, Mark, one point that came up following on the technical inquiry policy, which clearly the group thought it was the only sensible policy for the board to have, but on the other hand, also thought some of those conversations and connections were very valuable. So having some resource and some ability to answer the emails, answer the phone or whatever in the sense of trying to get a sense of what the issue might be was useful in his own right, but obviously falling well short of offering answers or even hints. All right, then let's move to Karen. Are you ready for group two?
Thanks, Paul. With respect to the first question, we just wanted to preface the response by saying that we thought the focus here should be on consistent application, not interpretation, but application of the standards across countries. So we're not looking at national differences in application necessarily. We did believe the board should be proactive in trying to get at what those issues are, but not go hunting for them. We thought that was important because it's part of protecting the brand and ensuring that we have high quality standards, because sometimes if you get inconsistencies in application across countries, it may be because there's something as simple as a drafting flaw in the standard. We also thought it very important that the board be seen as driving the process. And in the course of doing this, we should not forget that we are using principles-based standards, so we don't need to interpret every single application difference. With respect to question two, we believe that the groups that are identified in the question are appropriate. We thought groups that might be added would be the regional standard setting groups, and there is an organization that I didn't know about until about half an hour ago called, and I'll get the name wrong, but it's an international federation of audit regulators, that because as they do their work, they may define some issues as well. The acronym is IFIAR. For the third question, we thought the existing structure is appropriate to deal with the application issues that are identified. And lastly, on the role and or focus and role of the implementation committee, we thought the focus of that committee should be on areas where the board could or should do something, which may sound obvious, but I think there are likely many circumstances that come up where you maybe should not do something. The role of the committee should be around information gathering and passing that information on to the IASB. They can be the repository, if you like, the central repository of the issues that are uncovered. In terms of other things that they might do, there were suggestions that that committee could also look for challenges in application of standards. So I think it's more the practical issues around implementation or maintenance of a standard over the longer term. We also wondered if there could be a possible conflict of interest between the role of the implementation committee and the review that's done, I think, by staff members of the big firms' implementation books. They're those giant books they produce, in that they don't always reach the same conclusion, and that's acceptable under IFRS, but if we've got the implementation committee looking for consistency of application and board staff or board members reviewing that application guidance, it could that be considered to be a conflict? That's a brief summary of what the group discussed. It was a pretty wide-ranging discussion, so I would ask anyone who was a member of the team to offer up anything that I may have forgotten or misstated.
Thanks, Karen. Any observations from other group members? Karen, I think I momentarily dozed off as you were making your first point, so I didn't quite grasp the distinction. Apologies.
That's very close. Happens to all of us.
If I didn't know you so well, I'd be offended.
The point you were making, or the distinction between consistent application as opposed to interpretation, or was it consistent application across countries?
Countries. Countries. It's trying to get that global application consistently applied.
Rather than getting into national variations. Thank you. Sorry for that. Any other comments or questions? Yeah, Michael.
To clarify one of the points that you made about the conflict of interest, and were you referring to the reference in the policy that we included in Appendix B about reviewing firm materials? Okay. And I must say that certainly in my 3 years at the ISB, I've not ever received any requests from any external parties to review their materials. So I don't know whether others, Wayne has had any experience prior to that.
I've been at the board since 2001 and nobody's ever bothered to ask.
Maybe then we should delete it to avoid
probably
a potential conflict.
That's a useful clarification. All right. Any other comments or questions on that one? If not, let's turn to group three, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to question number one, how proactive should the ISB be? In this area, our answer was very. The group concluded that it would be being very proactive in this area would enhance the quality as well as the consistency of reporting under IFRS. With respect to how it should be done, the group was quite supportive of what was described in the paper of structuring relationships with security regulators and technical partners of the large firms. Everyone seemed to be quite supportive of that. One member of the group noted it should be done on a trilateral basis, that all three of those groups should meet at the same time. There was suggestions for other groups that should be reached out to on a proactive basis, including mid-size and smaller accounting firms, technical partners from mid-sized and smaller accounting firms, the national standard setters. As part of IOSCO, there should be active efforts to reach out to the Securities and Exchange Commission. And finally, preparer groups that focus on accounting issues. And in that case, and in the others as well, that realizing that we're adding more and more groups to the mix here, that these should be done on a regional basis to limit the number of additional meetings that have to take place. Moving to question three, there was unanimous agreement on this issue as well, that any application issues should be dealt with by the IFRS Foundation and the current processes that you have. There was a suggestion with respect to the IFRIC rejection letters that it would be helpful if the retrievability of those letters was enhanced, that would not only benefit regulators but also preparers, users, and auditors. Respect to question four and additional comments and advice, there was also suggestions that the IFRS Foundation should make sure that this interpretation committee does not become an additional layer of due process on top of the implementation process that already exists, that it can be part of the repository of where issues should be directed to, together with IFRIC, but it should not add another layer of due process to the extensive process that already exists. So that's a brief summary of the group's discussion, but I'd welcome any additional comments or corrections from any of the individual members of my group. Thank you.
Any other comments from members of the group? Jeff, on your last point about not another layer of due process, would that be consistent with one of the other groups that, you know, should essentially be an information gathering mechanism?
Right, that's consistent with the discussion we had. They didn't want another layer of process slowing down the interpretation process that exists today.
Thank you. All right, last but by no means least, Magonia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, in our group, we consider that this is a sort of a preliminary paper that deals with the implementations committee, and we did not go very much into the detail of the questions, but on the contrary, it was more like a brainstorming and asking questions to Philippe Danjou, that is chairing the committee and was sitting with us, in order to understand which was the real purpose of that committee. But in any case, we think that this is a very good mechanism to provide visibility about something that is a big concern nowadays, which is the implementation of IFRSs. And this is something that is even more important every time a new country enters into the IFRS world. So we think it's a good idea. Then it took us to a discussion about the first implementers versus the second implementer. So those companies, those countries that start to use IFRSs, and those questions that could come from the other groups. We also talk about the implementation versus enforcement, at what extent there is a clash between these two things, because here we are talking about implementation. Also implementation versus auditing, and even education. So there are many things that are related. But as I said, we understood at the end that this is a sort of a mechanism to learn relatively at the very beginning, to learn about the potential problems in the applications of the standards, to learn these things at an early stage in order to make changes if necessary. But the idea is that the implementations committee will bring these issues to the already existing mechanism, so either to the board, the IFRIC, or to the education guidance. So in a way, I think that this responds to question three, so there are enough things, mechanisms now to deal with that. The next issue that we were talking about was about how to operate and how to get the questions. And then we think that formalizing and structuring the already existing relationships with some groups, and in particular those mentioned here, IOSCO, ESMA, and the auditing firms, this is a good way of approaching the way of capturing the questions. But also, we think that the implementations committee should be ready to receive any questions to any stakeholder, those mentioned in the Appendix A, such as preparers, users, but perhaps it could be also taken into account the national audit and technical committees that in some cases also are very active in solving these issues at the national, at the country level. So they may have also questions interesting to answer. So I think that in a way this also tries to answer question two. Finally, the first question was about the being or not proactive. So I don't think I don't know if this system is being more proactive. I would say it's being very active listening about what's happening and then trying to react, but not the general view. If I had to summarize what the group said, we don't think that the ISB should be proactively looking for that, but listening what others ask. But if there are any other members that want to clarify what I said, I would be very happy to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional observations from group four? I think that's an interesting distinction between being proactive as opposed to what you're saying is an active listener, not necessarily seeking out problems, which I think was what April was alluding to before we started the breakouts. Well, my sense is a high level of consensus in terms of support for being active, much more in the listening mode in the first instance, no one wanting new mechanisms, certainly not due process, or we think we've got the tools to work with, some of them being much more in the case of education than perhaps in the area of standard or an interpretation. And I think this is an area where it's like communications, you know, the possibilities are endless. And it may be careful to not be too ambitious at the outset. If we, you know, spread ourselves too thin, that can be as much of a problem. And I think, meanwhile, the council can help in the sense of raising the awareness of the mechanisms that do exist and working locally to improve those channels. Because at the end of the day, a large part of the responsibility, I think, has to rest with the stakeholders. The ISB can provide the channels and be prepared to listen, but to expect the ISB to reach out and grab people and say, you know, you should have a problem, is not very, very realistic. So I think it's some combination of the two. And I suspect the national and regional bodies would be very keen to play that role. And, as these various mechanisms evolve, the working relationships will evolve as well. So, Philippe, since you chair the implementation committee.
Well, thank you for all the very good input and I think for the consensus which has appeared. A number of very useful suggestions in terms of how to implement those objectives have been made, how to communicate externally, how to receive input. And I would add to that that I would hope that the members of the Advisory Council also feel a degree of responsibility to inform the Implementation Committee wherever they see a problem, which they feel should be brought to our attention. So I count on you to also help us achieve these objectives.
Thanks, Philippe. Any other comments? I'm sure we will come back to this topic many times in the future. But I think the general tone here should be very positive in the sense that we're looking for ways to be even more responsive rather than saying, there's a problem here and we're